Let's turn now in the scriptures, God's word, to Leviticus and 22. Leviticus 22. And we will read verses 1 through 33, the entire chapter of Leviticus 22. And beginning in verse 1, these are the words of our God. They are inerrant and infallible and fully authoritative for our lives today. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell Aaron and his sons to be careful with the holy gifts of the sons of Israel, which they dedicate to me so as not to profane my holy name. I am the Lord. Say to them, if any man among all your descendants throughout your generations approaches the holy gifts which the sons of Israel dedicate to the Lord, while he has an uncleanness, that person shall be cut off from before me. I am the Lord. No man of the descendants of Aaron who is a leper, who has a discharge, may eat of the holy gifts until he is clean. And if anyone touches anything made unclean by a corpse, or if a man has a seminal emission, or if a man touches any teeming things by which he is made unclean, or any man by whom he is made unclean, whatever his uncleanness, a person who touches any such thing shall be unclean until evening, and shall not eat of the holy gifts unless he has bathed his body in water. But when the sun sets, he will be clean. And afterward he shall eat of the holy gifts, for it is his food. He shall not eat an animal which dies, or is torn by beast, becoming unclean by it. I am the Lord. They shall therefore keep my charge, so that they will not bear sin because of it and die thereby because they profane it. I am the Lord who sanctifies them. No layman, however, is to eat the holy gift. A sojourner with the priest or a hired man shall not eat of the holy gift. But if a priest buys a slave as his property with his money, that one may eat of it, and those who are born in his house may eat of his food. If a priest's daughter is married to a layman, she shall not eat of the offering of the gifts. But if a priest's daughter becomes a widow or divorced and has no child and returns to her father's house as in her youth, she shall eat of her father's food. But no layman shall eat of it. But if a man eats a holy gift unintentionally, then he shall add to it a fifth of it, and shall give the holy gift to the priest. They shall not profane the holy gifts of the sons of Israel which they offer to the Lord, and so cause them to bear punishment for guilt by eating their holy gifts, for I am the Lord who sanctifies them." And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons and to all the sons of Israel and say to them, any man of the house of Israel or of the aliens of Israel who presents his offering, whether it is in any of their votive or any of their free will offerings which they present to the Lord for a burnt offering, for you to be accepted, it must be a male without defect from the cattle, the sheep, or the goats. Whatever has a defect you shall not offer, for it will not be accepted for you. When a man offers a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord to fulfill a special vow, or for a freewill offering of the herd or of the flock, it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. Those that are blind or fractured or maimed or having a running sore or eczema or scabs, you shall not offer to the Lord, nor make of them an offering by fire on the altar to the Lord. In respect to an ox or a lamb which has an overgrown or stunted member, you may present it for a freewill offering, but for a vow it will not be accepted. Also anything with its testicles bruised or crushed or torn or cut, you shall not offer to the Lord or sacrifice in your land. Nor shall you accept any such from the hand of a foreigner for offering as the food of your God, for the corruption is in them. They have a defect. They shall not be accepted for you. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, When an ox or sheep or a goat is born, it shall remain 7 days with its mother, and from the eighth day on it shall be accepted as a sacrifice of an offering by fire to the Lord. But whether it is an ox or a sheep, you shall not kill both it and its young in one day. When you sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, you shall sacrifice it so that you may be accepted. It shall be eaten on the same day. You shall leave none of it until morning. I am the Lord. So you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. You shall not profane my holy name, but I will be sanctified among the sons of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. Those are God's words. The chapter here, we are given various laws concerning priests and sacrifices to preserve the sanctuary and the holiness of it. Verses 1 through 9, the priests concerning not eating holy things from the sacrifices if they are unclean for some reason. If they did so, they would be cut off, excommunicated from the people of God. Verses 10 through 13, that no one from outside the families of the priests should partake in the holy things sacrificed. Verses 14 to 16, the repayment of those things. Verses 17 to 25, the sacrifices which are offered to be without blemishes. They are to be pure. They must be more than 8 days old. Verses 26 to 28, and the sacrifices of thanksgiving must be eaten the same day as they're offered by the priests. These priests were to guard those sacrifices coming in, but also as they were to be partaken of by the priests and their families, so that they would not lead the people to sin. If they were unclean themselves and they partook in an unclean way of these sacrifices, they would cause the people to sin. So elders and ministers today can be guilty of leading others to sin, and we know that. By lessening the reverence of God by levity in worship. You hear that from some pastors preaching. They tell jokes all the time. And exposing the holy things like the Word of God to profane things. Ministers and elders need to take great care to guard the sacred treasure of what we've been given. That includes the sacraments and the church itself. And of course, the whole chapter finally points us to Jesus as the sacrificial lamb, who was without defect, but rather perfect, and therefore an appropriate and proper sacrifice to God. 1 Peter 1, Beloved, we are redeemed with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ, it says. He being the Lamb of God, having no defect, no moral defect, no blemish of sin. God made Christ who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. The perfect God requires a perfect sacrifice for imperfect man. And that alone is found in Christ. And so believe on Him for your own salvation. Elders and ministers, submit unto Him in all things, that you would preserve the church and the ordinances of the church, that sin would not come upon the people of the church. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful that you call us to watch, elders and pastors, watch our lives and doctrine closely. And by persevering in them, that we would save both ourselves and our hearers. That they would not be led into sin, but they would constantly be led back to you, your Son, Jesus Christ. Because ministers and elders, one theologian said, are like the pole, just holding up the brazen serpent, the bronze serpent, which is Christ. Father, we pray that we would all be leading each other, even as a church, pointing to Christ, the only perfect and proper sacrifice for us sinners. And He died on the cross for our sins. Father, we ask that You would help us as Your children to continually look to Him. If there are any here who do not know You, who may be fooled thinking they do know You, but do not, Father, we ask even of our children, we ask that they would turn to Christ alone for their salvation, that they would not turn to their family for salvation, they would not turn to their attendance upon worship for their salvation, they would not turn to the sacraments they've partaken in for their salvation, but they would turn to Christ alone, who's pointed to in the church, pointed to in the sacraments, pointed to by Your body for salvation alone. Christ alone. And Father, we're thankful for You granting to us this gospel by Your grace that You've brought us thus far. We're thankful of the reception service we had this last Monday, and the looking forward with thanksgiving to the reception service of this Tuesday of the church in Columbia. We ask for them that they would receive the same joy that we have received from You, and that You would build up both of our congregations and make them strong and make them the light in the dark place, that sinners may come and hear Your word faithfully read and preached and observed and taught. Father, further, we are thankful for this day that You've given to us, the Lord's Day, that we are privileged to worship You, to praise Your name, to take joy in Your Son and in the Holy Spirit. Father, we're thankful that You've preserved us in our bodies thus far, and You preserve the Nichols family and their car accident. We're thankful that they are generally okay. We pray that You'll heal their sore necks or any other parts that are maybe sore. Same for my family. We do pray especially for Jeannie and Dina and their health. Pray that You'll uplift them and strengthen their bodies. And in all these, we pray for our bodies, not just for the sake of being healed, but for the sake of serving You, of glorifying You all the more, of praising, giving You thanksgiving. We pray that You will answer our prayers so that we might see these answers and praise Your holy name as a church. We're thankful that You have done thus far in bringing our congregation to the new denomination. We've prayed much about that. You've answered that prayer. And so we give You praise and thanksgiving for this, and pray that You'll continue working amongst us. We pray for our children, as we've just prayed. We pray for their salvation. There's so many who have gone out from us, who've played the fool and said there is no God, and who have turned from You and rebelled against You, rebelled against Your children, the church, their families, physical families, and their parents. And Father, we ask that You will rebuke them, that You will bring confusion upon them, and bring that word of God to to bear upon their lives, that they would remember it from what they've heard. Remember it and hear it even from their families again and again as we come in contact with each other. And that you will send your Holy Spirit, if it be your will, and grant them salvation, so that we who have prayed for years and years for their salvation would be able to praise your holy name all the more. Not that we ought not to praise your name now for your good providence towards them and towards us. We pray for your mercy and plead that you would have pity upon them as you have on us. Father, even some of our children who are here today, they have not publicly professed faith. And so, Father, we ask for their recognition, that they would see their sin. They would see that the wages of their sin is death forever. And they would see the only hope that they could have found in Christ alone, who died for the sins of the elect upon the cross, was buried and rose from the dead on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. We pray that each one here would believe that, and believe it for themselves, that Christ died for them. We pray that it would be true. Father, we do pray for the church throughout the world, that you will strengthen them, that they would, and their teachers and pastors, that they would preach and teach faithfully your word, that you would rebuke those who false teach and who lead the saints astray. And we pray that you will bring down the Antichrist, the Pope, and all the Antichrists who teach falsely, and bring them to ruin. Your saints would be preserved. Your church would be preserved. And would be on the offensive, evangelizing and calling sinners to repent. Father, we are no better than any of those wicked, heinous people, except for your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit who's in our hearts. And so we pray that we will always trust you, always be satisfied in you alone, and not in the things and the cares and the ways of the world. For those things might seem good, and yet really lead to vanity and unfulfillment, unsatisfaction in our lives. We are only satisfied in Christ alone. We pray that you'll grow us in our communion with him, even through what we've learned lately in the Scriptures. Father, we ask that you would help us in all these things. Grant to us your favor, your grace, and preserve us not only in our bodies, but in our souls, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.